And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going to continue our study of the differences between Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel chapter number 22. Getting into the scripture now, let's give a recap real quick of where we're at and why we're here. We're looking at a Psalm of David, and it's written in two different places with quite different styling and some different words. And Psalm 18 was the people's songbook number 18. That was the Psalter or the songbook of the Hebrews. And it was intended for everyone else to sing it. And so the words were changed a little bit to apply to everyone else, as opposed to Psalm, or I'm going to say it again. I've tried my best not to say Psalm 22. It's not Psalm 22. 2 Samuel 22. It's just there's too many S's there. with Psalms and Samuel and seconds, you know? Anyway, 2 Samuel 22 has the song As David Sung It. And, you know, the song As David Sung It can be a little different. Let me use an example. There's an example of a relatively recently written song, spiritual song, written by William and Gloria Gaither years ago. It's very commonly used at Easter, Because He Lives. The original words were written when they just had a child. And so the original words that were originally written, How Sweet to Hold Our Newborn Baby. And Gloria Gaither typically would sing that verse. If you go back and you go on YouTube or elsewhere, or maybe you've got a copy of the actual vinyl, I do. I have a copy of that first record, Because He Lives. I have that. And that the intro to that, Gloria Gaither has a recitation. And then Bill Gaither's brother, Danny, actually sings the lead, if I remember correctly. And so you have Danny and Bill and Gloria, and they sing as the Gaither Trio. And Danny's been, he died from cancer a number of years back. But they changed the words when it got put in a lot of hymnals. It's in one of our, it's actually in a couple of the songbooks that we have here at church. It's not in the old church hymnal, because the old church hymnal is older than the song Because He Lives is. But it's in some of the Mull's books, and it's in the Songs of Faith book that a lot of churches around use these days. We've used the Songs of Faith book now for a number of years, as well as the church hymnal and others. We've used the Chuck Wagon Gang hymnal. Or songbook. I say hymnal. Songbook. There's a difference. The Chuck Wagon Gang songbook and others. We have the Gospel Singing Caravan. We still have a few of those. We have the New Songs of Inspiration books. Number 7 was the one that was used here for a long time. There are others. You know, there's songbooks being published continually. There's the old Baptist hymnal, and then there's the one prior to that, the Broadman hymnal. The Broadman hymnal was the original Baptist hymnal back in the day. We have those, the greenback Broadman hymnals. We have a bunch of them. And all these songbooks, the ones that do have the song Because He Lives, most of them change the words and say it's How Sweet to Hold a Newborn Baby. But when Bill and Gloria Gaither sung it, they said How Sweet to Hold Our Newborn Baby. It's a small change. It does change the meaning. That is a substantial meaning change. Because when you say How Sweet to Hold Our Newborn Baby, that hits at a whole different level than to sing How Sweet to Hold a Newborn Baby. And I mean, when you read the rest of that second verse, it becomes clear that it's written by a mother and a father about their own child. It's really clear. It's a wonderful song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Yeah. And that song's more appropriate today than ever before, I believe. But That's just an example. That's just an example of what I'm talking about here, how that a song might be changed a little bit in order to be sung by others as opposed to sung by the author, him or herself. So as we're going through this, we keep that in mind. And we keep in mind the differences between the two. And again, I've got a document here which is printed. It's parallel printed with both of these. When we're done with it, I'll try to upload the document to the podcast site, lamarowen.net, and you can look at it side by side yourself. We got down last week, I believe, to verse number 11 in 2 Samuel 22, and it's verse 10 in Psalm 18. Now, a number of these verses are identical between the two, and this is one of them. We read, "And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind." It's almost identical. Verse number 10 of Psalm 18 says it slightly differently. "And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind." Now there's a difference. This word, "yea, he did fly," as opposed, "and he was seen." And he was seen. Now, David puts this in 2 Samuel 22. He puts it into what we call the passive voice. The passive voice in the English language, you don't actually name who does the action. For instance, I could say, I preached at Macedonia last Sunday on a particular subject. All right. I can also say a particular subject was preached last Sunday at Macedonia. All right. The subject being preached becomes the subject of that sentence, as opposed to it being the object of the sentence, where it says, "I preached on a particular subject last Sunday." Okay? And it doesn't matter what the particular subject is. That's why I use that language of a particular subject. By saying a particular subject was preached, I de-emphasize who is actually preaching, who's actually doing the action that's being told about. I'm wanting to emphasize the action that was being done. That's the passive voice. And so when we say, or when David says, "and he was seen upon the wings of the wind," the person doing the seeing is not emphasized. What's emphasized that he is the one being seen. But the whole voice is different in Psalm 18. It doesn't say he was seen. It says, "yea, he did fly." It emphasizes him still. It's the same thing, but the idea of him being seen is not the important thought. The important thing is he's flying. He's the one flying. Whether we see him or not, he's flying. Now, being seen, us seeing him is important, yes. But that's recast, and that does change the meaning. It does. This verse doesn't even mean exactly the same thing. It says, "he did fly." That's the emphasis, as opposed to "he was seen flying." He was seen. And the act of seeing is the important thing. And again, this is different between David doing the singing of this psalm and the congregation. Because the congregation doing this song, they're going to relate that he did fly. But David is saying, "I saw him fly. He was seen." He doesn't want to emphasize himself. He doesn't say, "I saw him fly." He could have said that. That's active voice. As opposed to, "he was seen." Seen by whom? Doesn't matter by whom. It doesn't matter who did the seeing. What matters is he is the one that was seen. All right, verse number 12 of 2 Samuel 22. And he made darkness pavilions around him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Verse number 11, Psalm 18 reads somewhat differently. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. All right, now, he says his pavilion were. Pavilion can be plural without the S. And he's talking more about him doing it than it being seen that he does it. That's a little bit of difference in this particular one. And again, it's a little bit else. The other big thing is his secret place. And the Lord has a secret place. And Solomon even went, when the temple was being dedicated, he said, God said he would dwell in thick darkness. And I believe this is what he's referring to, is what the song that David received. Now, the meaning is close enough to where there's parallels and overlaps. Again, the difference is 2 Samuel 22 was sung by David. Psalm 18 was intended to be sung by the whole congregation. Verse 13, 2 Samuel 22, through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. And then verse 12 of Psalm 18 reads differently. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones, and coals of fire. We're given a little more information. His thick clouds passed. That gives us a little more detail than 2 Samuel 22. Again, David is singing Psalm or 2 Samuel 22. He's the one singing that one, whereas Psalm 18 is intended for others to sing. And the idea that he's in the thick clouds and those are passing, that's important in that particular case. Verse number 14, 2 Samuel 22. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. In verse 13 of Psalm 18, we have a little more words. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Notice that additional piece, hailstones and coals of fire. Now, this is prophetic. This is prophetic because we find in the book of Revelation three different times that a great hailstorm is mentioned. Now, I think it's one hailstorm. I don't think there's three hailstorms. I think there's one hailstorm. There's three trains of events that lead up to a singular hailstorm, and we're getting three different views of the same events leading up to this massive hailstorm where the hailstones are with fire and they weigh a talon apiece. Now you can look at it real closely, analyze that out. I'm convinced of that. But at the same time, I always reserve the right to be wrong. I'm not going to say I've got it figured out, because I don't. I've learned a little bit, and I've learned enough to know that I'm not going to have everything figured out. It's not possible to get everything figured out in terms of the sequence of events. And the reason is so the devil can't do it. The devil can't do it. It's confusing to him, too. He doesn't even know how it works. And he's a whole lot smarter than we are. If the devil can't figure it out, how do you think we can? Now, I realize we've got the Holy Ghost of God giving us unction and giving us understanding and discernment. I understand that. But I also understand that it's not intended to give the timeline. And I've seen timelines. I have. I'm not going to argue that point. Again, I always reserve the right to be wrong. But I find it interesting that David repeats that twice for the song that the others are supposed to sing, whereas David, it's enough for him that the Most High uttered his voice. And that's enough for him. Verse 15, 2 Samuel 22. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. Notice the additional wording in verse 14 of Psalm 18. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. He shot out lightnings as opposed to David just mentioning lightning. He expounds upon what he meant and what he said, and he gives a little bit more information. When he sings it, he remembers the lightning shot out. All he has to do is mention lightning. He already knows what that means. But for someone else to sing it, it's helpful to have a little bit more exposition involved. Verse 16, 2 Samuel 22. And the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. Wow. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. Notice there's a change of audience in that statement. David is saying the Lord did this, and then in the other one he's saying, you did this, O Lord. He's addressing the Lord as opposed to addressing the people. He's also changing a little bit of the point of view of this, where he says, instead of, and the channels of the sea appeared, he says, then the channels of waters were seen. Now, I realize that's the same meaning, but it emphasizes the act of seeing it in Psalm 18, whereas the people, whereas the channels themselves are emphasized a little bit more in 2 Samuel 22. You see the differences there? There's a great study on those differences. And I realize I'm not able to dig into the details quite as deeply as I might want on these, but we do have, we'll do as much as we can. Verse 17, 2 Samuel 22. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. Verse 16, Psalm 18. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. Those two verses are identical. And again, we're studying mostly the differences between them. This isn't intended to be a verse-by-verse study of each individual passage. It's a verse-by-verse study of the differences between the passages. Verse 18, 2 Samuel 22, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. Verse 17, Psalm 18, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Now there's a one word difference here. From them that hated me as opposed from them which hated me. Now, the difference here in English, the word which is a specifier between multiple objects. The one that hated me doesn't do it to that quite that level. The word which has more of a selector function than that does. Of course, we can be specific. We say it's that one. Which one? That one. One answers the question, the other asks in many cases. So there's a little difference there. Not a great difference, but a little difference. And I've got time for one more here, and we're going to do that one. Verse number 19, 2 Samuel 22. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. Verse 18, Psalm 18. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. That word stay means he was my crutch, he was my cane, he was my walker, he was what I leaned up against. And in both cases, those are the same wording. It's the same wording here. And we're going to end up there on that. going through this verse by verse, looking at the differences. We can look at the meaning of the verse, but for the purpose of this study, I'm looking at the differences. What did David learn in the meantime? How did he expand his knowledge? What's the differences between them, and why are those differences there? And we're going to continue there again next week, as the Lord leads, with these two passages, looking at the differences. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church, located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.